We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Give online therapy a try at BetterHelp.com/RotoViz and get on your way to being your best self.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Dynasty Cast. I'm RotoViz Radio, brought to my friends over at Blue Wire and BetterHelp. We are in the books of week 11. Week 11 is in the books. We're heading towards week 12, Thanksgiving week, a three-game slate on Thursday. We got a Black Friday game this year, and then our normal slate on Sunday slash Monday. How are you doing today, Dan? You can hear my voice is dying as I speak.
Now, you sound as beautiful as always. Looking forward to a nice little, you know, Thanksgiving feast. Looking forward to talking about some of these wonderful quarterbacks that we've been blessed with in the NFL over the last few weeks that definitely deserve starting positions. They don't, but, you know, we don't really have a choice. This is like when we had the replacement refs. We're getting... I don't know what's worse, the replacement QBs or the replacement refs?
I think that the replacement QBs are worse because with the refs, like, we knew, okay, they're playing themselves out of a job. Like, unfortunately, even if Tim Boyle is the worst quarterback ever, it's not like they can pull him and bring back Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers still is broken.
That is very true. And I definitely think Tim Boyle is going to be great. Well, in comparison to Zach Wilson.
All right, so we will get into the show. We're talking about a couple bad QBs, a couple of good players, maybe. We're going to do who we are thankful for. One rookie, one vet, and one coach. Might have a little bit of a spin on that for you at the end of the show. All right, so we have first, Zach Wilson has been benched, relegated to the third string. So we have Tim Boyle at QB1 and Trevor Siemian at QB2 for the New York Jets. Granted, the New York Jets are back to losing games, so it might not matter from an NFL perspective. But from a fantasy perspective, I did see John Bosch. So John Bosch, like many of us, is in many, many leagues. And when he searches the All My Leagues tab on my fantasy league for a player, usually you find one or two, oh, this guy has this player, this guy has this player. In all of John Bosch's leagues, and probably in all of your leagues and all of my leagues, Tim Boyle is a free agent, which, like, means that your league – it has to be deep for him not to be on the waiver wire. Are you even starting Tim Boyle over like a wide receiver 3 RB4 type?
No, he will not be making an appearance in any of my lineups. I mean, yeah, Zach Wilson is bad, but they're just bridging to Aaron Rodgers coming back and just trying to survive. So they may run the ball 45 times in the next month until, you know, per game. But Tim Boyle clearly isn't the answer. Maybe it's just to get Trevor Siemian up to speed on the offense, because he's very clearly the best option here right now that is healthy, assuming he can go. So if he can get, you know, any game strength and you know, get the playbook and whatever, Tim Boyle will be very quickly out of a job. I mean, Eastern Kentucky / UConn product who threw for like a touchdown in college and like 1,000 yards. So, and that was in 3 seasons. So yeah, he's definitely cut out for the NFL. Yeah, he will not be making any sort of appearance for me. I will say him playing, as bad as Zach Wilson has been, him playing will provide a window to buy these weapons, because it's going to look like the world is ending for New York when we're still just in limbo waiting for Aaron Rodgers to come back and then the inevitable takeover of whoever comes after him. But right now, yeah, no Tim Boyle, no Zach Wilson. To be honest with you, I think both of them aren't even worth rostering. Zach Wilson still has some, you know, that draft capital, that name value, but there is no reason to even have him at this point.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like I said, he was available in literally all of John Bosch's leagues. I'm not really rushing to the waiver wire unless, like, I'm desperate for a QB. I might not have a QB with a later bye week or something like that. Like, that's the only reason I'm putting any sort of waiver bucks on Tim Boyle. But I'm definitely not unloading the clip if I have any waiver wire bucks left. I'm trying to make him a $1 or $2 signing. So do you think it's closer to – do you think it's Simeon time, or do you think it's just they're going to play Boyle until Rodgers comes back?
I think they're going to play Boyle until Simeon is ready to go, and then they'll just roll with – because Simeon's the only quarterback currently active on that roster that can play quarterback in the NFL. We've seen it. You know, I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes, but he is at the very least serviceable. No matter where he's been, he's seemingly always been able to put something together. So that's best case scenario until Rodgers gets back. But yeah, no, I have zero interest in any of these quarterbacks. I would maybe consider Simeon if they say, hey, next week Trevor's going to start for us for the next month until Aaron comes back. I would consider having Trevor Siemian, because, you know, 15 points from a quarterback, which is probably that, you know, maybe that ballpark zone that he would get and bring in, that might be worth having for a month over trying to start an end of bench wide receiver or RB4 or 5 or whatever it is. So yeah, I'm out on Boyle, out on Wilson. I would consider Siemian if I only had one quarterback going.
All right, let's move on to the Cleveland Browns. Their quarterback situation has been G-R-O-S-S, gross, whether it be Deshaun Watson or P.J. Walker or Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Dorian Thompson-Robinson did have a shot to start earlier in the season, and it did not go well. He scored 2.5 fantasy points in his start against Baltimore. Got another start this past week against Pittsburgh with 8.2 fantasy points. No top 24, obviously, quarterback finishes among those first two starts on the road of his stat explorer. They did sign Joe Flacco. So do you think Joe Flacco is the Cleveland starter sooner than later? Do you think it's DTR? Do they go back to P.J. Walker? What do you think the status is? If I need a starting quarterback, if I need a starting quarterback that's on the Cleveland Browns, am I going Joe Flacco or am I holding on to DTR?
Flacco to me is just a safety net. The Cleveland wants to be able to stay in the playoff picture. Obviously they're looking very good. That defense is arguably one of the best of all time. They have been absolutely unbelievable. But it's DTR time, to be completely honest. If you look at those two starts, he got Baltimore and he got Pittsburgh, two of the other prominent defenses in the NFL. So him scoring a combined like 10 points between those two games is understandable. A very, very raw rookie quarterback who has a lot of what you'd like to see in a kind of that raw type quarterback that you can mold into what you want him to be. But man, he looks good out there. He looks comfortable. I know not the throws aren't all there, but he's one of those like smooth players where it all just looks natural, even though sometimes the decision making might not be great or the play call might not be up his alley. I think that he can be something in this league. I just think we're a couple years away from that. He needs the time. He needs to play. And your first two starts coming against two of the best teams two of the best defenses in the NFL is a tough way to bring it in, especially when, you know, you weren't drafted to be playing right now. You were brought in as a guy that hopefully we can develop, hopefully we can turn into something, you know. So I'm locked in with DTR. I'm even considering starting him if my QB2 in those leagues is, you know, moderate to bad. So He's got a chance. I know the schedule doesn't look super appetizing, but I think Cleland still has the weapons to keep him valuable. And I think as he gets more comfortable and, you know, gets those reps under his belt, we'll start to see a little bit more of that fantasy output.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think obviously with the rushing ability does create some sort of fantasy upside with that Browns team. And they, you know, have some legitimate players around him with Amari Cooper and with Elijah Moore, et cetera, et cetera. So I hope they stick it with DTR, but I would not be surprised if they end up going with Flacco for thinking that he has the better chance to like lead them to the playoffs and maybe make some noise in the playoffs. Because as we're seeing it, the AFC playoffs, we thought would be stacked and impossible to get through. It seems like it's getting weaker and weaker by the day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting landscape for sure. But is there any guys on the Browns that we're chasing weapon wise right now? I know it's kind of no man's land. You know, obviously you have Amari, Elijah Moore has been on the field at least, you know, Nick Chubb's out, but you have Kareem Hunt, you have Jerome Ford, David Njoku, you know, kind of doing David Njoku things. He's getting the targets, especially from DTR. He had 15 targets this week from DTR.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one guy that I'm buying at market value with the Cleveland Browns, it's probably just Amari. Okay. Because he's the guy who I think is going to score no matter who is at quarterback and who is playing and what system it is, et cetera, et cetera. And Amari Cooper is just one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, and he's probably being priced at a low-end wide receiver too. So, you know, just take the guy who has elite-level talent that isn't even close to an elite-level price.
Yeah, that his price always surprises me in his rankings. But I think the perceived value and the actual value are quite different. The guys that have Amari usually aren't willing to move him because they know what they have, whereas the market and the people that are ranking and doing all of this, a lot of times they don't have Amari, and they're always undervaluing him. So, I too am Amari Cooper guy. I still think that David Njoku can be a more than serviceable tight end one. I still think he's definitely in that tight end, you know, top 12 conversation. Elijah Moore has been hot and cold. I want to say he's more than a best ball asset, but that's kind of what he's been thus far. And maybe not even a good best ball asset just because he only has a few double digit points games under his belt. So yeah, honestly, I would consider buying DTR right now just kind of as a long-term hold, especially if I'm rebuilding.
For what price though? Like as a guy who has several DTR, I'm not selling him for a third. I'm taking a second. So at this point, as a buyer, I think he's worth less than a second, more than a third.
Yeah, I think it would have to be one of those later on second round picks, which I know doesn't make sense as like a rebuild type buy because you're not going to have that late second. So I would maybe do, you know, the early two for DTR and like a future two. I think that might be something that some teams would consider. But again, there's still an outside chance he's available on waivers in some places, but you know, you start lower, maybe offering a player that is worth about a second, maybe one of these younger wide receivers that hasn't done a ton, or maybe it's DTR and a first for Deshaun Watson. I don't know. I am comfortable buying in that like late second-ish rookie value though.
Makes sense. All right, let's talk about a Jaguars duo that woke up before we get into what we're thankful for this season. We have Trevor Lawrence and Calvin Ridley. A lot of the Jags were on a winning streak, then had a tough game against San Francisco 49ers, which brought a lot of detractors out that he hasn't been good statistically this season. And Calvin Ridley, I felt like, had been non-existent so far this season. I do have a fun stat for you, though, Dan. Through the RotoViz GameSplits app, one of the first apps that I ever used with RotoViz, make sure you get your RotoViz subscription, RV Radio 2023, to 10% discount. RotoViz GameSplits app, okay? Calvin Ridley and Zay Jones have played four games together. In those four games, Calvin Ridley is averaging 20 PPR points per game. And in the six games where they haven't played together, Calvin Ridley is averaging 7.53 points per game. So for some reason, the presence of Zay Jones activates Calvin Ridley. What is your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, you talk about best ball assets. Calvin Ridley might be the peak of that, and especially if they can try to figure out the Zay Jones qualifier. yeah, I mean, four good games on the season, and everything else has been terrible. Some of that is Trevor Lawrence. A lot of that is Calvin Ridley. When they don't have what seems like when they don't have the other weapons that aren't just Christian Kirk, when you have the Zay Jones around, it can clear the space for Calvin Ridley. They don't have the capacity to cover him the same way when you have other weapons to worry about, because we've also seen Zay Jones go off. We've had seen Zay Jones have some really great games as well. So I'm still in that frame of mind where Trevor Lawrence is just a less good Kirk Cousins. And I still don't think Calvin Ridley is really all that great. I understand that he's had some success, but his success has entirely relied on other wide receivers being around him. In Atlanta, it was Julio. As soon as Julio left, he sucked. With Zay Jones, for whatever reason, in Jacksonville, they force-fed Christian Kirk for some of those weeks. So I don't think he does anything to separate himself from the pack. He's forever going to be on my sell list. He was when he was like wide receiver 3 in Dynasty. He still is now that he's probably wide receiver 33. There's no way he's wide receiver 33, but you know what I mean. And again, I think some of that is linked to Trevor Lawrence being not anywhere near as good as we had all hoped or thought. But Calvin Ridley isn't that guy. He's just a guy, in my opinion. No pun intended either.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that the one takeaway from this game and maybe potentially the spin zone of the Zay Jones thing is if you can sell Calvin Ridley for anything close to that first round price tag, I would definitely do it. I mean, you could probably sell him for first, you know, in August, September as that hype was crescendoing. And now that it's died down, I'm not sure that's still the case. But looking at Trevor Lawrence here, had his best game of the year with 34.8 PPR points. Not even just his best game by a long shot. It was his 5th game as a QB1, but that's because he did have a bit of a high, like, he was more of a high floor, low ceiling play in all the other games this season. Yeah, I mean, I still love Trevor Lawrence, still selling Calvin Ridley. Nothing really new from this, other than I think a little bit of sell wind over Ridley.
Yeah, I think anytime a player has a game like that, whether it's Lawrence or Ridley, I think both could provide a sell opportunity. But yeah, I mean, this game also is the outlier for Lawrence's season, otherwise averaging like 16 points per game. And then all of a sudden you throw in a 34. Did have a few QB1 weeks in there, like you mentioned. One of them was a 16.6, so again, an outlier week. Last week, not great against San Francisco. You look back, obviously KC defense has been playing pretty good all year. That was like a QB3 type week. And then, you know, he's just kind of been a steady 16, 17, 18 point guy. And that'll probably be just kind of what it is if this Jacksonville team is going to have a more balanced attack. They don't need to rely on Trevor to make every single play, every single throw, like maybe it has been the last few years. But going back to Calvin Ridley, I don't think people realize that he's rapidly approaching 30 years old. He'll be 29. And that'll kind of put him in that same like Terry McLaurin space. But if we're being honest, I would much rather have Terry McLaurin. Chris Godwin's kind of in that conversation. Amari Cooper is 29. You know, all of these guys are kind of in that same space. So I guess, do you have like a clean preference of Ridley to any of those guys, the Godwins, the McLaurins, the Coopers? Because for me, I very clearly have the other three above Calvin Ridley.
All right, let's go into our second half of the show. We have 13 minutes, 13 minutes to talk about what we're thankful for. Before we do that, let's talk about our friends over at BetterHelp.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
All right, thank you to our friends over at BetterHelp. What are we thankful for? I put this as a topic and it ended up being what you were thankful for, Dan. So who is the rookie you're thankful for, and why are we admitting that he's a dynasty wide receiver one?
Well, it's without question Tank Dell. I spent most of my draft season attempting to trade up into that anywhere from early second to mid second to late second, depending on where he fell, to get my hands on whatever I could with Tank Dell. I loved what I saw. You know, the undersized bit was really the scary part. But he flew up my board and he became very, very attainable very, very quickly, as did someone like Rashee Rice, who you could also say I'm thankful for. But I think Tank Dell and CJ Stroud, that combination has been, really, really fun to watch. Obviously, the early success always helps and really boosts that fantasy value, the dynasty value. And I still don't think people have caught up on Tank Dell. I really don't. I don't know if he's leapfrogging a lot of these big names, but he's like, I would rather have him over Drake London. I'll take him over Brandon Ayuk. I'll take him over Diggs. He's kind of that fringe guy, but no one has him there yet. And that is starting to become concerning, because all he does is produce when he's on the field. And if everything goes well, he's linked to CJ Stroud for 3 more years.
Yeah. And looking at the RotoViz Stat Explorer, we have 3 wide receiver 1 weeks, 2 wide receiver 2 weeks, and then the rest have been lower. But also, the Texans' passing volume was lower over the first few weeks of the season. So that did, lower his weekly upside. But yeah, it's very clear that Tank Dell is the wide receiver 1 in Houston. And I've been saying over and over, they're going to draft, they're going to bring in, they're going to bring other weapons, which they might, but I'm less and less convinced that that weapon, whoever they bring in, is going to be better than Tank Dell, because Tank Dell is showing elite upside.
Definitely. And again, he's got a rookie quarterback, so there's going to be some weeks where he isn't going to absolutely explode, but looking at 3 games over 25 points in the first 11 weeks, and then you attack on another 2 that he'd be averaging, 19 and a half with. So the big games are there. The smaller ones, I think, are to be expected, again, as a rookie. But these other guys in Houston have been eating, too. I just think Tank Dell looks a little bit different than the other guys there. I think the other guys have been very, very good and really nice compliments to Tank Dell. But I mean, wide receiver, 16 on the season in scoring as a rookie. Jordan Addison just a few spots ahead of him. And only in 9 games, because he missed a game. So this to me is one of those NFL misses on, you know, obviously draft stock, because he should have been taken higher. I think that was clear. I think the size continues to deter people from taking these players that have all of this ability. But then you get someone like Zay Flowers, who gets probably overdrafted, but then looks good for a little bit and then disappears. Again, Jordan Addison, slightly undersized, not as fast as you should be for that size, goes early and has produced. We have a little bit of every scenario, but I think Tank Dell is definitely in that conversation for a wide receiver one spot. It'd be fun to see how this all develops. The one that I'm very curious to know from you, Nathan, Tank Dell or Puka Nacua?
Tank, easily.
Wow. Okay. I think I'm in the same boat too.
Tank has the draft capital, and he also has the quarterback. Like, we don't know what's happening in Los Angeles with the future of Matthew Stafford or Brett Rippon or a rookie quarterback. So that, and I just think that Tank Dell is probably a better wide receiver because of the draft capital, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I don't think that one's that close. I think you would need at least like a late first on top of Nacua to get to. Wow. I would take Dell over an early two and Nacua.
Okay. That's very fair. I love that, because especially knowing how much Tank Dell I have.
Yep. All right. We'll go to what rookie I'm thankful for. I wanted to say Tajay Spears, and I'm going to say before I get to the one I'm actually thankful for, the reason I wanted to say Tajay Spears is he has seen a larger volume than expected as a rookie behind Derrick Henry. He's had at least 4 targets in 7 of 10 games. He's had an 8 carry game, a 7 carry game, at least 4 carries in about 7 games as well. So it's 8 to 10 touches a game. And that is more than you would think from your traditional Derrick Henry backup. We've seen the Darrington Evans of the world. We've seen so many guys sit in that role as Derrick Henry's backup and do nothing. Spears has also been decent when he's been playing, but still not enough to quite be thankful for the 2023 season. So I will go with the player you mentioned just a bit ago, which was Jordan Addison. Jordan Addison was good when Justin Jefferson was on the field. He's been good while Justin Jefferson has been off the field. He's been a legitimate wide receiver. Like, the one disappointing part about Jordan Addison's rookie season is he's shown he's an NFL wide receiver one, but in his situation, he's never going to be an NFL wide receiver one.
But I think that's going to bode well for him in the long run, because if he's always working against the other team's QB two or corner two, I mean, he should eat constantly. And he did. That's all he was doing early on, even as a rookie with, you know, being tossed to the wolves right away. He's been playing very, very well. And now he's going to deal with, you know, the tougher quarterback cornerback matchups. But it sounds like we're getting Justin Jefferson back either this Thanksgiving week or the week after their bye. So it's either this week or in 2 weeks. And we're going to continue to see Jordan Addison do Jordan Addison things. Do you feel like Addison has planted himself in that top 8, 10, 12 wide receiver spot? Or do you think he's still kind of working his way in, maybe in the like 14 to 16 range?
No, I mean, I just called Tank Dell wide receiver one. I think that at minimum, Dell and Addison are equal. I would lean towards Addison being a bump ahead, just because I think his upside is a little bit higher. His floor is probably a little bit higher too. So, you know, if I have Dell as a, you know, wide receiver 10 to 12, I probably have Jordan Addison as wide receiver 9 to 11.
Okay. Yeah. And that's about where I have Addison as well. I think he's justifiable in that 8 to 10 range. Because of how this year has gone and they've been polar opposites, Jordan Addison or Garrett Wilson?
I'd lean Garrett.
Because he's the one there instead of the two.
Yeah. And just like once Garrett Wilson gets any semblance of quarterback, like, I don't see Addison, even if he was alone, I don't see Addison as like a top 5 NFL wide receiver. I see Garrett Wilson with any sort of semblance of quarterback play as a top 5 NFL wide receiver.
Okay. And then my follow-up, which is probably more relevant because he is the wide receiver 2 on his team, Jordan Addison or Jalen Waddle?
That one's closer. I'd lean Waddle very slightly, but honestly, I wouldn't fault anyone for flipping it.
Yeah, I think those two are about equal. And then I would have Tank Dell a couple of spots behind. But if we're talking about the Dolphins combo versus the rookie combo, if it's Waddle and Hill versus Addison and Dell, I think I'm going Addison and Dell, which I know sounds crazy because of all the points we're missing out on. But pure fantasy value wise, I think I take Dell over Tyreek. I mean, Tyreek's, again, one of those guys approaching 30. He's got to stop at some point.
All right, so we only have time for our vets or our coach. Which one do you want to go?
Let's just do vets so we don't have to talk about coaches.
All right, see you later, D'Amico Ryan. See you later, Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera getting fired, so I'm thankful for that. let's go. I'll do my veteran first. I am oh so thankful for DeAndre Swift. I'm oh so thankful for all of the haters and losers who were saying, oh, he was traded for a fourth round pick. There is no investment in him. He might have a lower floor. All these things that I said as worries of mine, those worries were wrong. DeAndre Swift is an RB, our dynasty RB1. DeAndre Swift is an RB1. He's doing all those things with a very, very good offense. Obviously, he didn't do a ton in terms of the Eagles' offense, didn't do a ton against the Chiefs, but did just enough to win. And DeAndre Swift is a focal point of that offense. So, yeah, all the worries about the low draft capital, the low trade value of DeAndre Swift, they were wrong. They didn't matter. DeAndre Swift, huge this year.
Yeah, I think we all knew that the ability was always there. It was, we were chasing the touches. We were chasing him staying on the field, which we still haven't gotten fully, but at least we know that the Eagles know he's better than Kenneth Gainwell, which I am thankful for.
Yeah, I mean, it takes very little eyesight to see that.
Well, you know, you never know. Some of these guys are very, very questionable. Where do you have Swift overall RB rankings?
Probably 8 to 10 range.
Okay, to be honest, I actually thought he'd be a little bit higher for you.
I mean, honestly, I would have to look at it. Run down the top 10, and I'll tell you where.
Okay, Bijan, Breece,
no,
CMC.
No. Slow down. Bijan, no. Breece, no. CMC, no.
Gibbs,
no.
Baylor,
no.
ETN,
no.
K9, Kenneth Walker.
Yes, I take Swift over Walker.
Achan?
Swift.
Okay. Yeah, so you probably 6 to 8 range, yep. Maybe you know, depending on some of the other guys too. But I think that's probably the right spot. You think about that offense and what it brings to the table and how many points it scores. You got to have him up top. Okay, sorry, I don't mean to keep you. Thankful for, well, I spent all offseason trading for Amon-Ra St. Brown. Watching his rookie season, watching his sophomore season, it was very clear he kept taking those steps. And now we look at his third season, taking a massive step forward. His yards per target goes 7.7 as a rookie, 8.0 as a sophomore, up to 9.2 this year. He scored 5 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns, and now 5 already through 9 games. The numbers have been only growing, only climbing. He continues to get better, it seems, every single week. When he plays, he is that guy. I think there is a genuine case to be made for Amon-Ra St. Brown to be up in the top 2, 3, 4 conversation. We might have to have the Amon-Ra, Jamar Chase conversation pretty soon, because he's not going to surpass Justin Jefferson for me, probably ever. But Jamar Chase has been hot and cold all year, been very, very inconsistent, and Amon-Ra has been only consistent. I'm taking him over CD. I prefer him to A.J. Brown only because of age. If it was not an age conversation and we weren't talking about 3 years, then it would be A.J. Brown for me. But I have Amon-Ra firmly as wide receiver 3, and I think I was buying at like wide receiver 14. So the return on my investment has been absolutely glorious.
Yeah, no, Amon-Ra. I think that pretty much at this point, he's firmly at wide receiver 3. I don't have him over Chase because I'm kind of giving the Bengals a pass for 2023. Joe Burrow was never fully healthy. That offense was a mess. And so and even with that being said, Chase still produced on a more variable basis. So I also think that Chase is just a much better wide receiver than St. Brown. Not saying that St. Brown's not a great wide receiver, but I think that Chase and Jefferson are just in a league of their own. So that those are my final thoughts on being thankful for Monroe. I'm also thankful for him. I have him in a few spots. But I didn't go buying because, you know, I'm the hater and loser that still talks about draft capital year three into his career.
No. That's definitely your gig, though. Very, very, very thankful. And to be honest, I'm happy for your guy, DeAndre Swift, to see him finally getting some opportunity to shine bright under those lovely, lovely lights in Philly. But yeah, we'll see how these guys keep growing and where they rise to by the end of the season.
That should do it for this week. We'll talk to you guys next week. Kadosh!